Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenters for this week, Carmel O'Donoghue and I, John Bourne. Coming up on the programme in the next half an hour, Carmel will have her insight into some of the stories of European interest that she believes will affect us here in Ireland. We have a statement from Federica Mogherini, High Representative of the Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy and Vice President of the EC, about the recent murder of the Russian opposition leader Boris Nemtsov and the state of democracy in Russia. Also on this issue, we will have a statement from Mikhail Kasyanov, former Prime Minister of Russia, who was visiting the European Parliament in Strasbourg this week. We'll have a roundup of some of the stories from the European Commission here in Dublin, and we'll have some great French music for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme Europe Today. New-look fuel-efficient lorries are to appear on European roads over the coming years. The European Parliament has given the go-ahead to ensure that trucks will have better aerodynamic design and will consume less fuel. The new measures are expected to save hauliers close on €5,000 per year on fuel costs. Kiri Eustace of the European Commission Office in Dublin says the new measures will also assist greatly in improving road safety.
New EU rules passed today means that trucks will be safer and more eco-friendly. So their new shape will be more fuel efficient, which will allow for a reduction in fuel consumption. It will cut emissions of greenhouse gases and will also improve road safety.
The European Union is giving away €100,000 to the best female entrepreneur in Europe. The prize is for women who have innovated and brought successful ideas to the marketplace. The closing date is October 20th next, and details can be found on the European Union Prize for Women Innovators webpage. Alicia O'Rourke of the European Commission Office in Dublin says the overall objective of the competition is to encourage more women to start their own businesses.
The EU Prize for Women Innovators is to reward three women who have achieved outstanding innovations and brought them to market. It's basically to raise awareness of the need for more female entrepreneurs and to inspire other women to follow in their footsteps. So the contest is open to all women who have founded or co-founded a company and who have at some point in their careers benefited from EU research and innovation funding.
The Minister for Children and Youth Affairs, Dr. James Riley, says it could take some time before the state introduces extended paternity leave for Irish fathers. Last week, the Labour Party signalled its intentions to allow for 2 weeks' leave from work for fathers when babies are born. Figures from 2013 show that the average cost of childcare in this country is €152 per week. Speaking at a European Union-hosted conference on childcare in Dublin, Minister James Riley said introducing such measures are unlikely to happen in the lifetime of this government.
Well, you know, let's not pretend we can solve all the problems at one fell swoop. I mean, we have to look ideally that you would have equal entitlement over an equal period of time for both fathers and mothers. But, you know, in a constrained financial situation, we may have to walk a bit more slowly before we can run at the pace we'd like to be running at.
This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM. European regulators have dropped plans to ban roaming charges for people using data on their smartphones and tablet devices. The roaming fees appear on people's bills whenever they use their email, search the web or use an online map to navigate while they're overseas. Regulators call for an intermediate step that would still allow carriers to charge more to use mobiles abroad. The proposals were a significant departure from those first floated in 2013, observers said, and the move has sparked outrage amongst consumer groups. Policies to encourage men to be more active parents would help reduce the EU's stagnating gender pay gap, it's been claimed. Eurostat figures showed that there was a 16.4% EU gender pay gap in 2013, down from 17.3% 5 years earlier. The UN's International Labour Organization says at the current rate of progress, it will be 71 years before gender pay equity is achieved. Germany is led by a woman and boasts a strong female presence in Parliament. But when it comes to business, it seems females are falling behind. Now, new legislation has been passed, which will force companies to boost representation. Major firms will have to allot 30% of seats on non-executive boards to females in Germany. The European Commission and Europe's tech industry last week unveiled its vision for 5G. A global vision and standards for 5G will be discussed and decided with international players later this year and next. With this early input, the EU stands a good chance that key elements of its vision will form part of global standards. 5G technologies and standards will respond to the 30-fold increase in internet and data traffic by 2020. Parmesan is one of the world's most copied cheeses, and those behind the original are not happy. Hence a gathering in Italy's northern city of Bologna last Thursday, at which producers displayed what they said was a rogue gallery of fake Parmesan. The event comes as it was claimed sales of non-authentic Parmesan overtook the genuine article for the first time last year, meaning a loss in sales of 60 billion euros. Long-term unemployment affects nearly 12 million people, or 4.9% of the active EU population. A public consultation on tackling this urgent problem has been launched. The Commission wants your view on how it can improve its services to the long-term unemployed to shorten their unemployment spell, how services can be integrated and individual support offered. The consultation runs until the 15th of May. A recent report shows that a coordinated EU environmental policy has delivered substantial benefits for citizens over the past 5 years. Europeans enjoy cleaner air and water. They send less waste to landfill and they recycle more, while environmental policies drive jobs and growth. But the report warns that Europe's long-term goal of living well within the limits of our planet cannot be achieved with the current level of ambition of environment and related policies. University College Cork and NUI Galway researchers have won up to 2 million each in the EU funding for their projects. This funding will help them build their own research teams and pursue their best ideas at the frontiers of knowledge in the field of life sciences. This brings to 10 the total number of early career scientists based in Ireland who have received funding under the ERC Starting Grants 2014 call, which is part of the EU Horizon 2020 Framework Programme for Research and Innovation. This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Chanel, je n'en veux pas, donnez-moi une limousine, j'en ferai quoi, pa-pa-la, pa-pa-pa-la. Offrez-moi du personnel, j'en ferai quoi, un manoir à Neuchâtel, ce n'est pas pour moi. Offrez-moi la tour Eiffel, j'en ferai quoi, pa-pa-la, pa-pa-pa-la. Je veux de l'amour, de la joie, de la bonne humeur. Ce n'est pas votre argent qui fera mon bonheur. Moi je veux crever la main sur le cœur. Allons ensemble découvrir ma liberté. Oubliez donc tous vos clichés. Bienvenue dans ma réalité. J'en ai marre de vos bonnes manières, c'est trop pour moi. Moi je mange avec les mains. Et je suis comme ça, je parle fort et je suis France, excusez-moi. Fini l'hypocrisie, moi, je me casse de là, j'en ai marre des langues de bois. Regardez-moi, de toute manière, je vous en veux pas, et je suis comme ça. Je suis comme ça. Je veux de l'amour, de la joie, de la bonne humeur. Ce n'est pas votre argent qui fera mon bonheur. Moi je veux crever
la main sur le cœur. Allons ensemble découvrir ma liberté. Oubliez donc tous vos clichés. Bienvenue dans ma réalité.
Certainly one of the most popular French singers at the moment. That's an artist called Zaz with a track called Je Vous.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
Last Tuesday in Strasbourg, President Jean-Claude Juncker met with Mr. Mikhail Kasanyev, former Russian Prime Minister, and afterwards Mr. Kasanyev addressed the Parliament and gave a statement about the recent murder of Russian opposition leader Boris Nemtsov and the general state of democracy in Russia. Here's an extract from that statement.
Of course, that was political murder. Why we believe and we are sure that it's political murder? Because of the simple analysis of what's going on in Russia today. After the invasion of Mr. Putin on Ukraine, into Ukraine, annexation of Crimea, absolutely the state propaganda and, in fact, I would say the whole press is controlled by Kremlin right now, even not state-owned propaganda, but self-censorship that provides the whole propaganda of the regime. Propaganda that Russia is a special country, Russians are special people, and all these post-empire syndrome started to grow, and Mr. Putin started to cultivate that. During the demonstrations in support of Putin's policy, his supporters even started to put a sign and call for elimination of the fifth column, elimination of this national betrayal. How we can characterize the regime in Russia? This is authoritarian regime, nothing to do with democracy, and just we heading to, I would say, classical fascism, like Mussolini fascism. There is no nationalistic effect. There is no nationalistic pressure inside Russia to different nationalities, but definitely we're already there that unified ideology. I don't think just Mr. Putin could be a partner in settling international affairs, despite of the fact that Russia is permanent member of Security Council. All necessary resolutions in the Security Council was blocked by Russia. Both on all problems what we have in the Middle East and Syria, or just Iranian nuclear dossier, on other things. Everywhere. Mr. Putin doesn't want to perform as a part of civilized society. He would like you just to go around him and just trying to ask him and just emphasizing his importance. If we don't stop this aggression on the territory of Ukraine, I think that we should realize that there is a war between Putin and civilized world on the territory of Ukraine, and this time it's taking place. If we don't stop Putin's there, Transnistria, that's evidently just next step. Moldova is not in a very I would say, strengthening strong position, especially after just recent elections. They leave some kind of, you know better than I think just your delegation already studied the whole situation there. That is next. And if no stop there, just Baltic states, just Putin's pillow, just to defend Russian-speaking people whenever, wherever they live.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Recently, Federica Mogherini, High Representative of the Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy and Vice President of the EC, addressed the EP plenary session about the recent murder of the Russian opposition leader Boris Nemtsov and the state of democracy in Russia. Here is her closing statement.
We need strategic patience and a bold work towards Russian society. I would start from here because I think that there is a unifying line in this hemicycle. I always try to look for those lines. And this is the need for our strong, constant commitment to engage with the Russian society. I think we need to do that when it comes to people-to-people contacts. We need to do it when it comes to young people in Russia. I've had the chance of discussing this also yesterday with our Russian friend. And the risk of losing entire parts, major parts of the Russian society, especially young generations, to the idea that Europe is not an enemy. Europe is a space for cooperation and democracy, also for the Russian people. I think this is something we have to build also, and especially in these difficult times. So those of you who called for an overall strategy towards Russia from the European Union side, let me welcome very much these words. Let me welcome very much this plea that you, some of you have raised in this room, and that reflects some of the national parliament's thinking. I was happy to discuss that with members of the House of Lords in London recently. You might be aware of their recent report on the crisis in Ukraine, but also on relations of the European Union with Russia. I think there is a need to collectively think on how we engage, as some of you mentioned, also on our positive tools to engage with the Russian population. We do not have to be afraid of this discussion, as Boris was not afraid of thinking of difficult things in the difficult conditions he was operating politically. We have also to ask ourselves the difficult questions, and part of these difficult questions today is how do we effectively, in the best possible way, support dynamics in the Russian society, or at least prevent them to be completely cancelled from the public debate. I would come back to ask your support when engaging in this difficult exercise, because we have to be clear. Some of you have mentioned it very clearly. You did it, I think. On one side, we have a strong, sound policy that implies also sanctions. On the other side, maybe we have to make it more clear, more, let's say, bolder. What do we do with the Russian people and with Russia as a big state that is not only its leadership? And I think that this part of our work will need courageous, consistent, and maybe a little bit out-of-the-box thinking in the coming months, without being necessarily trapped in the rhetoric that we use, which is not only a rhetoric, it's also action, and we need that. But we need to complement that with our positive actions towards the Russian population. Let me, and I think that some of you were mentioning also very openly, the need to keep open the channels of dialogue. If you don't do that, it's clear that we will have more and more about that. I will close with one point that was mentioned by many, the need to increase our strategic communication or to counter the propaganda. Now, we have started this work. It is obviously not, and it will never be, because it is not in our DNA, it is not in our political understanding, this is something we can do, or we will be interested in doing. It is not about counter-propaganda, but it is a matter of supporting media freedom. It is a matter of supporting freedom of expression. It is also a matter of providing to the most, or to the big number of Russian-speaking population in Russia, but also in our own countries, correct information. We've started to work on that. We will discuss that also in the European Council, in the Foreign Affairs Council in the coming months. This is something on which I think European Union has an added value. To work, to support those that are doing an excellent job when it comes to transparent and full information, and to support more explanation of European values and principles in all parts of the European continent.
Thank you. aussi paumé qu'un navire. Si j'en ai perdu la tête, je t'aimais et même pire. Tu es venu en sifflant. Ébloui par la nuit, un coup de lumière m'appelle. Faut-il aimer la vie ou la regarder juste passer?
I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Don't forget to check out our support website platform portal, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and some links to the various items that we spoke about as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week and your programme Europe Today.